Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from a hot, steamy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from a balmy, cool, beautiful hellhole, Phoenix, Arizona.
Liar.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, July 21st, 2011, episode 189, sponsored by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's appropriate music for a Thursday. It just, you know, Thursday is that day. It's the day before Friday, and that's the only reason Thursday exists. So you need that music to keep you going. You know, the morning talk show I listen to, the morning radio show I listen to every morning, Bob and Sherry, they've nicknamed Thursday the gateway to the weekend. That's kind of a good name for Thursday, I think.
That's not bad at all. I think you're absolutely right. And the gateway to the weekend, let's see, what's your weekend looking like weather-wise?
Oh, 95 degrees with 100% humidity. Pretty much.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah,
that sounds lovely. Yes.
Yesterday, the heat index was about 110 with the humidity.
Good times. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's currently 6:02 here in Phoenix, Arizona, and it is 99 degrees. Fantastic. However, our weekend is cooling off. We have highs of 108, 109 today, but it is going to really drastically cool off for the weekend. Saturday and Sunday expected to be only a high of 106. So good times, good times.
Are you still taking the afternoon
forecast?
You know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about Mexico and Spain and stuff and how they do the siestas in the afternoon. That's because they had to. It was too freaking hot to do anything.
I'll tell you, my friend, at about 2 p.m., I realize I can do no more, and I do go lay down every single afternoon, right around 2. I put on SpongeBob SquarePants, and I fall asleep in about 5 seconds. So thank God for Nickelodeon. And, yeah, you're exactly right. That is the reason that people sleep in the middle of the day, is because there's just nothing else that you can physically do.
Well, it looks like we're sharing the warmth over here on the East Coast with you. We can sort of relate now for the next couple of days to what you go through pretty much for 4 months.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. I love it.
Well, we have a solution for you today. And Jennifer's going to tell you what your solution to your problem of living in Phoenix is. We have a solution. So go ahead, Jennifer. What's coming up?
Oh, that was my cue today?
Yes.
On today's Horseshow.com Thursday edition, we open up with Things We'll Never Own. Yay! One of my favorite spots. We're going to highlight a really amazing horse property. This one is out on the West Coast. So those of you west of the Mississippi, stay tuned. Or those of you east of the Mississippi who really don't want to be there, stay tuned. This has got a couple of different twists that we've never had on a property before. So I'm really excited. And a really cool part of it is the listing realtor is also a genuine horsewoman. She rides jumpers, so I can't wait to talk to Carol. And being Thursday and all, and I did check, it is Thursday, the Chronicle of the Horse will be here with another great do's and don'ts list. This one is for the warm-up ring this time around, and I'm sure we all have our fair share of warm-up ring horror stories. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think my co-host you from last weekend being that girl and all.
Are you the do or the don't in the warm-up ring?
I think she was the don't for the entire show. Don't do that. Don't. Every instructor there had somebody they could point to with their students and go, don't do that. No, you don't want to do it that way.
Yeah. You know, Jennifer, just to speak on that for a second, when you're in the warm-up ring and your horse is spinning, bucking, rearing, plunging, trying to run back to the barn, and you're in a situation where it's a beginner novice horse. It is every one of these horses' first time, and you're still that guy? That is brutal. I cannot wait to hear all the things that I did wrong to make people mad, according to Lisa the Chronicle.
Send you any logo wear. You weren't, like, wearing anything that said Horse Radio Network on it, were you?
Glenn and Jennifer, I had photos of you guys on my saddle pad, so I hope that's okay.
Just checking.
We are not sending Jamie any of the brand sparkling new, fresh off the presses Horse Radio Network logo saddle pads. She does not get one.
We should make those. Actually, that'd be
awesome. Just stay tuned.
That's in the works. Yeah.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
I'll never get one.
That's right. No, never. No, no. Well, we might send you one if you promise never to use it.
Thanks.
Was that it, Jennifer, or was there more?
there was more, but I figured I'd just wait.
Okay, go ahead.
And last but not least, we will be enjoying our next riveting chapter of Black Beauty. Now, thus far, we've had inspiration, tragedy, drama, and travel. So what's next? Stay tuned and find out.
All right, terrific. And it is time for my... My first Daily Winnie is to my mother-in-law. Happy birthday, Pat. It is her birthday today. Clap.
Yay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she is my mother-in-law. We have to do that. Look, I'll even make it better here. Hey, Jennifer, do you think I covered all the bases? Am I good?
I think you're good, yeah.
All right, we sent her a card and we sent her a gift, right?
Yes. We've got all of our bases covered.
Phew. All right, good. We're good for this year. One more year down. All right, happy birthday, Pat. And I have one more Daily Winnie. This is to our buddy Tom Rittenhouse, the non-horse person listener to our shows, who, after we talked yesterday about the Lone Ranger movie, made a comment and said that 12, and it's supposed to be released on 12/21/2012, and I knew that date had a meaning, and I couldn't remember what it was. And he wrote, hey, guys, that date is also supposed to be the end of the world by the ancient Mayan calendar. Because you remember that the Mayans said the world's going to end on 12/21/2012. He also says it's his birthday, and this time I'll have an excuse to party like there's no tomorrow. You know, I kind of think Tom doesn't need an excuse for that, but... But you're right, Tom. It's the last day, so I think if anybody wants to see that movie, they better get there that day, or according to the Mayans, that's it.
Yeah, that's what I just want to spend my last day doing. However, I'm so sick of the last day thing. It's like, how many of those are we going to have this year? Because wasn't one like in March, and then, oh, it didn't happen, so it's actually October, and then this is going to happen in December? You know, I'm tired of hearing about the last
day. But you know what I was thinking, though, is that the last day is going to be 12/21/2012. That means we don't have to buy gifts. We can put off buying gifts, and it is the last day. We've saved all that money.
You make a good point, my friend. I didn't get you anything because I thought the world was going to end according to the ancient Mayans.
That's right.
My bad.
Hey, by the way, I got to say, too, you have one, too, right? Do you have any?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but before we get to that, Kelly Utter just posted on our Facebook page.
No.
Oh.
It's my Daily Winnie.
Oh, okay. You didn't warn me.
Jeez. Kelly Utter. daughter gets my Daily Whinny because she says if you guys want some old-timey entertainment, and this is my favorite part, in parentheses, sadly, minus Johnny Depp in a loincloth, go to OTR.net where you can listen to old-time radio, including 973 episodes of The Lone Ranger. And this is like way old-timey radio because this is before there was even a TV show. So, of course, the whole Johnny Depp thing comes because Johnny Depp is going to play Tonto. And I can't imagine anybody else doing a better job of playing Tonto than Johnny Depp. I'm thinking this is going to be like a comedy movie, but whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I kind of don't think it's going to be a serious action movie with him playing Tonto.
No. It's going to be the best Tonto ever. I'm super excited about that. Okay, we need to stop talking about Lone Ranger for like a minute because it's not until 12:21. But I'm just, we're not excited about it.
Hey, there's a horse movie. Well, loosely I'm using this term. There's a horse movie coming out, though, the end of this month, and we've seen the trailers for it, and we want to go see it. Have you seen the trailers yet for Cowboys and Aliens?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It is going to be awesome. It's like the best of both worlds. It's sci-fi Western.
I know. I love that with some great names in it, too. So
yeah,
I can't wait to review that.
Harrison Ford in it or something?
Yeah, Harrison Ford's in it. We should do it this way. We should have a group. You know how that listener did that group movie night with their mom and all that stuff? We should have a group movie night where we decide one weekend night after it comes out, we're all going to go see the movie, us and the listeners and everybody, and we're going to talk about it when we come in the next Monday. We should have a group movie night with our listeners. I think that's a terrific idea. Keep that room.
Now
we have to remember to do it.
Okay, write that down. When does the Cowboys and Aliens come out?
I think it's the 29th of July, so it's coming out soon.
Okay. It's a summer blockbuster. Jon Favreau produced it and wrote it and all that, so it's going to be a good one. Of course, he's the guy that did Swingers, so you know it's coming from a healthy place. We'll see what happens.
And I hear that have you gotten into the Harry Potter thing?
I read all of the books as they were coming out, and I've seen almost all of the movies. I kind of fell off the movie train about two or three movies ago.
Well, I hear that the last one, which is out now, which Jennifer and I want to go see, we've seen all the movies and we never read any of the books, is very good. I hear it is one of the best movies they've done. So I can't wait to go see that one. I also wanted to mention, again, that Really Bad Ads is tomorrow. We have I'll tell you what the prizes are. You want to get your Really Bad Ad in for tomorrow, and Jamie will tell you in a second what we're looking for. But we have a Horse Radio Network signed hat by the three of us, which are coveted, and a three-pack of my favorite socks in the whole world. When I was at the World Equestrian Games, I had to walk miles because we were doing the World Equestrian Games radio show and we were expected to cover everything on the whole 1,200-acre park, but they decided not to give us a golf cart because we weren't important enough. So we had to walk everywhere we went over that 1,200 acres every day, and my feet were killing me by the end of the third day. I stopped by Draper Therapies, and my friend there, Kat, said, I have a solution for you. You wear these Draper Body Therapy Med Crew socks. Put them on. Gave me a couple pairs to try. Oh, my God. Within 2 days, my feet were fine. My blisters were gone. They didn't hurt again after that. These socks are miracle workers. They're tall boot socks, so you can wear them underneath your tall boots. And I just push them down. I wear them to play tennis because my feet were killing me when I started playing tennis again. They're terrific. I'm telling you, your feet just don't hurt. I don't know what's in these socks, some kind of miracle serum. Because they are good and they actually do work. The Draper Body Therapy Med Crew socks, they're going to send out a three-pack of those socks, which are $15 a pair. So it's almost a $50 value to the winner of the Really Bad Ads for tomorrow. And Jamie's going to tell you what we're looking for.
Yeah, basically, when you go on to look at a horse ad, you know, I think people lose sight of the fact that they're trying to actually sell something. And they put aside things like good photos in the ads. They put aside things like punctuation and spelling and, you know, they do it in all caps so it looks like they're yelling at you, or they just write completely random descriptions of horses, trailers, sheep, goats, pigs, cows, whatever they're trying to sell. So, you know, I recommend a little bit of perusing Craigslist in the farm and garden section in your area or areas surrounding you, or, you know, in Botswana. I don't really care where you find them. Or you can go on to, I found another classic one, is dreamhorse.com. Don't look for the photo ads because people pay good money for those, but look for the ads with no photos and read those. Yeah, fantastic. And again, people, you're trying to sell something. Like, there was the one ad that I found, and it was like the title was Bay Horse. And then when you click the ad open, it says Bay Horse, and then there's a phone number. So, like, can you give me a little more information, please? Thank you very much. So, they're trying to sell something, maybe not doing the best job, and it is your job to email those to us, and then you'll win fabulous prizes. Fabulous prizes. So.
All right, great. Thank you, Jamie. Well, we have coming up here an old friend of the Horse Radio Network, and now representing a company that we are proud to say is our new title sponsor for Thursdays, and we wanted to get them on to talk about their product, which we think is pretty cool, and also to welcome them. We have Gil Merrick on the line, who's ridden a dressage horse or two, I think, over the years. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me here today.
So now you're in a new capacity now. Do you still get on a horse every once in a while?
Pretty often. I still manage to keep some groups around the country where I go and teach dressage clinics, and that's an opportunity to ride. And I still get down to Atlanta on a regular basis and work with Shireen Fuqua and her horses at Collecting Gates Farm. So I'm still in the saddle. I just don't own my own horse right now.
Well, you know, that's funny. We get to the age that we're, I think I'm close to you, Gil, or you're close to me, one or the other. And for the first time until last year, we had 2 years where we didn't own a horse, and that was the first time ever. So it's interesting how life gives you some twists and turns, because Gil was the team leader for the U.S. dressage teams for the 2006 World Equestrian Games, Pan American Games, Olympic Games. So it is interesting how life works sometimes. And I want to thank you guys at horseshow.com for becoming the newest sponsor for the title sponsorship for Thursdays. We really appreciate that.
Well, we're very happy to do it. And when we were looking around to find ways, we're a new company, we were looking for ways to let people know who we are and what we're doing. And because we're reaching out to riders with all breeds of horses within all the different disciplines, Horse Radio Network seemed like a great place for us to come. So we appreciate being partnered with you and look forward to continuing on into our future together.
Well, good. You know, with 9 different shows, we cover most everything now in the horse world, that's for sure. So tell us, okay, and I know we've had you on the show before, but, you know, we have a lot of new listeners now. Tell us what horseshow.com is, simply and easily, so that people can grasp the concept. Because one of the things I think that's been happening that I've seen with people I've been talking to is they're just not quite getting it. So our job here is to help them get it.
Right. And it's not a surprise that people don't, because to our knowledge, nobody else is doing this the way that we are. So I better tell you what this is. We have a website. It's obviously horseshow.com. And we're inviting riders to go there. And right on the homepage, you see a list of shows that are up on the website. And what that means is we are trying to recreate the experience of going to a live horse show, but taking away the requirement to actually put your horse in the trailer and go to a different facility. So if you're a dressage rider, or right now if you ride a Western pleasure horse, or you're an Arabian horse rider, or a hunter rider, you can go onto the website. And you'll see the shows that we've put up. And just like a regular show, there's a prize list that lists the classes that you can enter. And if you click on the class, it'll give you a brief description, basically, of what you would need to do in the class. And we run them right along the lines of a regular live show. So if it's a Hunter Over Fences class, we would describe the course that needs to be ridden. And you would then set yourself up at home or wherever you train regularly and get your somebody to help you with the video camera, and then practice, and then ride the performance that's called for. These are usually 3-minute videos. And once you've made the video, you come onto the website, you sign up, and signing up now is free. We're new, so we're inviting people to participate with us at no cost. And you set up a profile page for yourself, just like you would do on Facebook, just some real basic information. The most important thing is we need to know the name of the horse you're entering in the competition. And then when you have a video that you like, you upload it onto that page, and then there's a very simple button that says enter a show, and you get a drop-down list of the shows you can enter. You pick the one that you want to be in. You pick the class that you want to enter that video in, and once you hit the upload button, then you've been submitted to the class. And what we're recreating for people and what I'm being told right now, and again, we're very new at this, but we're listening very carefully to the folks we're talking to, is all of the shows that we have up right now. There's a dressage show that's up. We offer all the USEF and FEI dressage tests. It's being judged by USEF S-level judge and FEI I-level judge, Natalie Lamping. We also have an Arabian show up. It's a performance show. And that's being judged by another USEF R judge, Karen Homer Brown, who's very, very well known within the Arabian community. And what's unique about our site is every person who submits a video gets placed or scored, depending on what the class calls for, and they get an individual set of comments from the judge. And although in dressage, riders are very used to getting a full score sheet and all their different movements are marked with a comment and they get overall impressions and of course, their score, we do the same thing with the dressage classes, but for some of the other disciplines and within the breeds, like the Arabians in a performance class or a hunter class, often at a live horse show, although people certainly know where they finished in the class, they don't necessarily know what the judge was thinking about their ride, or they don't have an opinion from the judge about the ride, and that's what we're offering with our online horse shows, is the judge has the ability, after they watch the video, to write comments directly to the entrant. Those are then emailed to the entrant's this profile page I mentioned, and those are confidential for the member. If they want to share it with other people, they can invite them, like they can friend them and invite them to come in and look. But they're private comments for the rider to use to practice at home and improve their performance.
Yeah, I think that's – go ahead.
I was just going to say, Gil, this past weekend, I did share my judges' comments online, or actually on this radio show, and they were pretty cutting, pretty harsh. I took a green horse into his first horse trial, and he might have done some airs above the ground in our dressage test, and might have tried to buck me off. And the comments, my friend, were a little bit harsh and not very supportive of the first ever horse trial for a green baby horse. Will these kind of comments be more supportive and encouraging or critiquing, or are they going to kind of be like, you need to give it up, you need to quit, don't ever bring this horse back here? What kind of critiques are you expecting?
Well, that's a great question, because when we started this, I'm in charge of program development, so I'm the person who looks to see what kind of shows we should be putting up, where the interest is, and it's all from listening to the community, the people who tell us what they'd like to see. And they're all telling us exactly what you're saying. They're saying, you know what, I can probably go somewhere and get some pretty harsh comments from a judge because I'm just starting in this division.
They're readily available everywhere.
Yeah. In fact, you don't even necessarily need the judge. You can just walk by the rail and ask the rail bird, because they'll all tell you exactly what they think about your ride.
Exactly.
This nice little unique feature we have in the world of horse showing. There's no lack of opinions, and everybody's happy to give them, and they're usually not very kind, in my experience. So when we set up a show, one of the first things we do is we figure out, well, who's an appropriate judge for this? And so we have a hunter show that's starting today, and it's being run by the by a group down in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's McNair's Country Acres, and they wanted to run a hunter show down there. And they came forward to us, and they said, you know, we want to run this, and here's the format we'd like to use, and here's the judge that we'd like to have on board. And once they gave us all of the parameters, we can then reach out to the judges where someone says, you know, this is somebody that we want to use. This is somebody that we want to have be part of, you know, our program. And then we get to have a conversation with the judge and explain to them, here's what we're doing online. Here's why people are in the classes. They need some encouragement would be a great thing, but constructive criticism, something that they can go home and train based on. So we're, in essence, handpicking the judges for the different shows and making sure, you know, we're new, so we're smaller, and we, of course, have complete control over the shows that are up on the website. And In fact, this morning I have a call at 10 o'clock with Natalie Lamping. She's getting ready to judge practice rides that were sent in from riders who are going this week to the North American Junior and Young Rider Championships in Lexington, Kentucky. And these young riders and juniors are getting one more chance to ride their test and get a critique from Natalie, who's not judging at the live event, but she has certainly judged it before. And so we're going to talk about, you know, what she's going to give back to these riders as far as input and all that. And she's very aware. They're looking for that last little bit of help before they go into the real competition ring in Lexington and have the pressure of the live competition. So the answer to your question is we handpick the judges, and we have a lot of dialogue with them and make sure they understand the intent of the website, because if we just recreate an unpleasant showing experience, we certainly aren't going to have a lot of people coming back and uploading their videos for an online show.
Did you get a video of your test there, Jamie?
Absolutely not, Glenn. And if it was videoed, it has now been deleted.
I was going to say you could enter it and get more constructive criticism.
I'm pretty sure that I deserved the last place score, the way last place score that I got. I mean, when you know it's bad, you certainly don't need to have that hammered into you.
Now, I may have missed this. Did you say that those comments and those scorecards are kept private, or are they part of the public thing? Because I know that the public, you can go in and you can watch the different tests in a class, right? Like I could go watch the 10 different people that have entered a dressage class. I can watch their video.
That's right. You can go to the site and you can click on the thumbnail and you can watch it. But once the show closes, and it's just like the live show, the entries close and then we don't accept any more videos after that point. The judge gets to work at judging, but when they fill out their electronic scorecard for each rider and they hit their submit button, it goes via email directly to the rider, and it's not visible to anybody else. In other words, it's sitting on their profile page, and they have a password to get to that. And if they want to then forward it to maybe their trainer to have a look at the comments, or if they want someone else to be able to come have a look, they can give an individual permission to do that, but the public can't go onto their page and see the different scorecards that they've gotten from the shows. The only thing the public sees is it's a final leaderboard at the end, and it just shows you the rankings in the class, and if it's a dressage show, it'll show you the score that the rider's got.
Okay, cool. Couple questions for you. So when you post, hey, people, there's a horse show coming up, here is your jump course, here's what you have to do, how long from that point until the submissions, on average, are due?
Well, we're experimenting with that, and it seems like from the time we actually put the show up onto the website, it takes probably a week or so for people to hear about it and to learn that it's there, and then they're probably going to need at least another week or two to get themselves set up at home. Of course, they're going to want to practice because you're going to try to submit the best video that you can, and then actually, you know, sit down at your computer and upload it and put it into the show. So we're leaving most of the shows open for between 3 and 4 weeks, and our approach now is once the show goes up is we start promoting it. We reach out to that particular community and let riders know that it's up there.
And
okay,
I do know, I wanted to say, Jamie, tell you that I did play with that, how that all works, you know, the mechanics of it, and it's very simple and easy to upload your video and to do all the parts. Go ahead.
So here's the million-dollar question, or how many dollars. How much does it cost to enter a class?
Right now, if you enter a dressage class or you enter one of the Arabian performance classes, the entry fee is $15. And this is pay-as-you-play kind of model. So if you want to go around the site and look at the different classes and see what people are doing, there's no cost to do that. But and you can set up a profile page for yourself. You can even upload videos. But at the point you actually go to enter, you get that magical pop-up box that says the entry fee for this class is $15. And what you're buying in the case of a judge class is the coaching from the judge, the individual comments that you're going to get. Plus, if you're the winner of the class, it's a nice way to reach out to your community and let people know that you submitted the video, and go have a look because it won the class, and I'm proud of what my horse just did, and I'd like you all to see it. In our classes that we call popularity classes, they're very different from the judged classes. It's a little bit like American Idol meets the horse show world, and those classes are designed to be a little bit more fun. In fact, we have some great ideas that have been coming our way as far as kinds of classes we can put up where the public can go to the page for that class, and there's a scorecard there that they get to fill out. So if there are 8 entries in the class, they get to pick, they watch the videos, and they get to say, okay, you're number 1, you're number 2, you're number 3, and so on. They submit their scorecard, and you can only vote once, so you can't really rig this thing, although you can get every living relative, friend, and person you've ever known to get on there and vote for you. And those classes, we try to, right now the one we have up for that is our favorite Western pleasure horse class, and we have some prize money attached.
Is there a class for favorite radio hosts?
Glenn, we're working on it.
Good. I can beat Jamie then. Jamie and I can compete, and I can finally beat her at something.
Well,
no.
Remember, you can each only vote once. So this is going to be a little
weird. I hate your rules.
You're going to need to reach out to your audience, Glenn, and really do some heavy promotion here. And I'm going to recommend also, you know, graft and corruption. Offer a big old prize if somebody goes in there and votes for you.
Hey, Gil, speaking of, I got to back up. Glenn rudely interrupted the fact that you said there's prize money.
There is. In fact, one of the things we're doing as we put up these shows is reaching out to sponsors, people who want to either provide the prize money for the classes or great prizes, you know, things like coolers and grooming equipment and things that the average rider could use. But right now for our Western Pleasure Horse class, we're posting the prize money. It's $200 to the winner, $100 for the reserve rider, and $50 for the third place. So, and as we grow,
wow,
we'll be able to do a lot more.
That's
with,
more than
with
you win at a real
money.
Show.
It is. And you might notice
actually,
you didn't spend a whole bunch on gasoline to get there.
I was going to say, I wish I would have known about this before I went and embarrassed myself at Coconino this past weekend. It'd be a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper way to embarrass myself.
Well,
Gil,
you know,
this is awesome. I'm really excited, and I can't wait to kind of follow up. And we'll just give like a little update every Thursday on what we find. And
yeah, I did want to tell you, Jamie, too, and I haven't even talked to you about this. One of the things we're going to do with Gil and with the people over at horseshow.com, instead of just running regular boring commercials for it, they're actually going to provide guests that we're going to do little 5-minute spots. So some of the guests may be the judges. So we get to talk to some. We've never done that in this show, by the way. We've never talked to judges for anything. And also the winners. We're going to chat with some of the winners of these different shows. And I think that's just going to be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to
that,
Gil.
Well, as I said, I really appreciate this partnership and being invited to come on board, and we will. We're going to reach out to the folks who are participating on the web and have interesting stories about themselves and their horses. And you're right, talking to the judges is a great exercise because I told all the time, people want to know what they're looking for, what they're thinking, how they judge what they judge. And, you know, we're being rigorous about finding the judges who can explain each of their placings. So, you know, if I put you third and you didn't win, I can also tell you what you needed to do to have been in a higher place. So those will be great guests to have on board.
All right, real quick, before we wrap up this segment, what kinds of shows do we have now? I know we have dressage.
That's right. We have one dressage show, which is all the USEF tests, so it's training level through fourth. We also have a separate show, which is the FEI level test, the Prix St. George and the Intermediaire and Grand Prix. Those are all being judged by Natalie Lamping. Then our popularity class is our favorite Western pleasure horse, and that's, you can submit any video you have of your Western pleasure horse. It can be from a show you were in. It can be at home. It can be something that you've had for a while. And the idea is to get your friends and to go on there and, of course, vote for you to be the most popular horse in that class. And then we also have an Arabian performance show, and that's being judged by Karen Homer Brown. And that has Arabian country English pleasure classes. It has hunter pleasure, Western pleasure, also a native costume class in there. And we broke it up. We have an Arabian division, then we also have a division for half Arabians and Anglo-Arabians. So keep it pretty similar to the live shows. And today we put up our first hunter show for McNeil's Country Acres. And pretty soon we're going to have another one that's being hosted by the Chagrin Valley Hunt Club in Northeast Ohio. So the next wave of shows will include the hunter classes.
All right, terrific. That sounds like fun, and I know you really want to expand that out, and someday I'm going to convince you to do a driving show.
As in carriage driving or car driving?
Carriage driving.
You betcha. Yeah. In fact, we're really looking forward to doing something for that large community of people who own the minis and do the driving, as well as within the Morgan division and some of the others. So that's actually
cool.
Coming up quickly. We're working with Karen Homer Brown to get those put together.
All right. Well, that's terrific. Everybody check it out. Go over to horseshow.com. Take a look at it. Watch some of the videos. It's just fun to browse around there. And congratulations, too, on the new website. I absolutely love it. So that's horseshow.com. Thank you, Gil Merrick. We appreciate you being here. We're looking forward to some of the guests you're going to throw our way.
Thanks a lot, Glenn, Jamie, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Gil.
Bye, Gil.
Okay.
Didn't that sound like fun?
Yes. Actually, it sounds awesome. I'm pretty excited about it. Now, the good thing is I thought when he listed a horse show, that means you have, like, you know, a day to get it done. But the fact that they can put it out there and give you three or so weeks to get your performance taken care of, that makes it a lot easier. I just was imagining myself seeing this and running out in the backyard and trying to move some jumps around by myself and then going, can anybody video me? I was having a hard time with that. So I think this is going to be great.
And that's what's kind of neat is you can actually submit videos of shows you've been to or videos you've taken in your backyard. So it's either one. And you know, you could get a second opinion, really, on a show you've been to if you want to do that. And you can win money, which is even cooler. So I love the idea. It's horseshow.com. And we appreciate them sponsoring Thursdays here at Horses in the Morning and a couple of other shows, too. Well, it's time. I need music for this. I don't have any music. I need something that sounds rich, and I don't have any. So I apologize for that, but by next time we'll have some. This is our segment we call... Not what I had in mind.
you didn't like that one?
No. So this is a segment we called Things We'll Never Own. And we have our guest on here, and boy, did she get up early this morning. But this, you know, we've done this before, and we talk about things or properties or places that are for sale and that you could possibly buy if you had a lot more money than Jamie and I. And we have one of those places. However, Jamie, you have been whining and complaining about living in Phoenix and how hot it is. Well, Carol Bird and I are going to tell you about how you can solve that problem, and it's not too far away. This is near Malibu, California, and we'll say good morning to Carol. Thank you so much for getting up this early.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good morning. It's Carol. Hi.
Well, Carol, and I also hear that you, not only are you a realtor, you're like a horse person.
Absolutely. No, I compete in the amateur owner jumpers.
Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, this place Jennifer found, now we're not going to give the price out. We're going to hold that till the end.
Oh, okay.
But this is the first time we've highlighted some very fancy $20 million horse properties and, you know, some very fancy properties on Long Island and here in Lexington. But we've never had actually an operating business. Tell us about this one.
This is really a remarkable business. It's and quite well known throughout the country, actually, probably throughout the world. It's called Mill Creek Equestrian Center, and this is located in an area which is right adjacent to Malibu. It's called Topanga Canyon. It's actually about by car, maybe 12 minutes from the ocean. And it's a very sweet community. It's a lot of trees, and mostly there are. It originally started with smaller houses, but then now there are many large estates there, and there are quite a few celebrities that have lived there as well. It's a little closer to Hollywood and to Beverly Hills, and if people need to commute, and you just love it. There's a lot of nature, so you know, it's the kind of place where you can have a neighbor and not really see them, but and you're not that remote. It's actually 28.5 acres, and the facility, Mill Creek Equestrian Center, takes up probably 8 to 9 acres, and it's sort of in a semi-valley, but I mean it's only maybe, you know, I'd say 100 feet from the highest level to the bottom level, very lushly landscaped. And Corey Walkie, the owner, has been in business for 37 years, profitable every year, always full. It's a magical place. Most of the employees have been there more than 10 years, so they really know their business and their end of the business. And it's just really kind of a well-oiled machine. It's happy. The vibe is great. I mean, it's really a pleasure to go there. Everyone is smiling. Everyone is happy. It's, you know, kept very clean. She has a total of maybe 60 stalls, and – She's very, very well known for eventing, and there are very few facilities that concentrate and develop event riders. So that's unusual. And she also has Mette Rosenkrantz, who is a FEI World Cup and Olympic rider for dressage there. So the dressage level is extremely high, and she teaches hunter-jumper because, of course, it's very related to all the other horse disciplines. 60 stalls, as I said, and they teach about 200 lessons a week.
I know. See, Jamie, is this not perfect? It's perfect for Jamie. It's an event barn. The weather is much better than in Phoenix. They got 60 boarders, and you have turnouts, corrals, miles of trail, four professional arenas with lights. What more do you want, Jamie? It's right there.
Glenn, you know, it sounds absolutely perfect, and I'd love to have it. And I really know that the area around Malibu is extremely affordable, so I should be able to get a pretty good loan with my fantastic Horse Radio Network salary, and go for it.
I love this in the ad, Carol. I love this. What a sense of humor you have, and I love this. It says, perfect climate. No humidity, no flash floods, no tornadoes, just sunny or warm, pleasantly cool temperatures. Now, she left out the fires and the earthquakes.
Well, let me tell you that the fire department has told Corey that in 100 years her area has not burned. And I think it's because, first there are hills around, and fire generally tends to go up and seek a higher location for more oxygen as opposed to down. So that's probably the reason. I mean, it's not that there aren't trees and things that could burn, but it has never burned. And earthquakes, I don't know of any faults personally. I mean, I'm pretty up on those kinds of things in terms of where they are located. There is a Malibu Coast Fault, which would run along the coast all through Malibu, actually. It's possible there have been in my lifetime that I've lived in Malibu, well over 25 years, one or two earthquakes where I felt it, but generally we've not felt them. They've mostly been in the San Fernando Valley where the major faults have been. And, you know, it's one of those things that it happens and then it's over. So
last for a long time. Carol, tell Glenn to shut up. It's the price you pay for living in Malibu, which is perfect. Just say, shut up about the earthquakes. We all deal with it. We don't care because it's perfect here all the time.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and just one more thing about earthquakes. There's no season for them where you can count on having it every year.
True.
Like tornadoes and hurricanes, which is really devastating to see the damage that happens. Yes, if a fault happens very close, I believe it was in the early 90s, there was a big fault as well. I fell out of bed, but it could happen. But then it's over. So and the homes and the buildings are built to withstand it or to move if there is a shaking. So it's not a big deal, and it rarely happens. It might happen to you once or twice in your lifetime that you ever even had any kind of a sensation for it. So. But the weather here is beyond belief, and that's really, you know, probably one of the most amazing things is that the temperature runs, you know, probably from the mid-60s, it could be in the 50s in the winter, up to, you know, 80s, and rarely in some parts of Los Angeles inland, you know, it'll hit 100 a few days a year. But basically, when you're close to the ocean itself doesn't change temperature very easily, so it controls the air. And, you know, I mean, the highest in the summer would generally be in the 80s, but we don't have humidity and we don't have bugs. Those are two.
I like the no bug thing.
Yeah,
that's
you can leave
nice.
Your doors open, and you know you don't have bugs inside. You don't have them outside when you go to barbecue. It's just it's a really fantastic climate. Very unusual, and that's why people really clamor to come to California in particular.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures here, and it is pretty. I mean, I love the landscape and the trees and the whole thing. Now, are there houses on this property?
There is only one tiny house that Carlos, the grounds manager, lives in with his family, and no one's been in it. Corey said she hasn't been in it for 15 years, so we don't know what it looks like inside. But he lives there, and he kind of manages all the guys. And so there is no main house. It's just facility. There's an office and and then stalls and arenas, and tack rooms, things like that, feed rooms. But there are no houses. There's room for them, plenty of room.
I'll tell you what, Jamie. It looks like Jamie's going to have to get Carlos out to live.
That ain't happening. I'm not doing all that work.
Well, and you know they have
noticed,
a whole.
I noticed though that they are selling. The cool thing is they're selling pretty much everything that comes with it. Business, you know, basically a turnkey business.
Yes.
And even the lesson horses come with them. Is that correct?
Yes, the school horses that are, you know, the school horses don't last forever, and she's very lovingly caring for them. They have what I call their dormitory. They have two huge areas where they live, and then the school horse tack-up area and all that. And what's nice about, they require that every person tack up their own horse and take care of it. And this is something that she drums into them. So, you know, you learn how to go and get your horse and come back and brush it and then to put the wraps on and put the tack on. And then you also put your horse away, you know, clean it up and put it back in its house or wherever it lives afterwards. So it really, it isn't some place where you can just, there are a few working people, you know, grown-ups that have full service, you know, where it's tacked up when they get there and then someone takes it away and cleans it, you know, because those people are working and running back to the office or whatever. But the bulk of the people are caring for their horse as well. And
cool.
So it teaches that responsibility. Now, I think there's two or three reasons why it's been so successful for 37 years, which is quite remarkable for a business. And that is the location is probably 10 to 20 minutes from just about anywhere in Los Angeles. So it's very easy to get there. And it's very pretty when you get there. Then also the scope of the lesson starts from the basic up-down all the way to, you know, Olympic-level riding. And then you can tailor your expense of having a horse to pretty much your own budget. So, you know, you can have your horse in a pipe corral, or you can have it in a pipe corral with an in-and-out. You can have it in a stall. You can have it in a stall with an in-and-out. You can have it in the big barn. So, and then all the prices vary. You also can do your own blanketing. You can come on Monday there's a three-hour session. Most barns are closed on Monday. She has it open for 3 or 4 hours where you can come and turn your horse out and put it back in. If you want to give your horse medicine or shots that it needs yourself, you can do that. So, or you can pay to have someone do it. You can pay to have someone blanket, or you can do it. So whatever your budget is, there's a way to have your horse there, which is really fabulous. And I think that has also been one of the secrets to her success. Besides it being
neat.
Fun, yeah, there's nothing
it's
better
neat.
Than... Go,
and
I'm
actually,
sorry?
You know, the price, considering it's in Malibu, number one, and, you know, not too far from the coast, the whole thing, and it's an established business with 200 lessons a week and 60 stalls, all that, is not that bad. I actually, when you take a look, you know, relatively speaking, it's not that bad.
No, the way you price something, I thought about this, like what would I want to know and what would make up the value of this facility, and I have a whole package where I explain that to someone. There are really four elements. The land value itself, it's 28 and a half acres. And so there are other comps that you can base your land value on. Then you have the fixtures, and those would be the things that come with the property that are attached, the buildings themselves, or the arenas, the footing, all the infrastructure. There's about 93 or so hundred square feet of structure on the property. Then, of course, the inventory, and those are things like that could change up to the last minute. Some of it would be trucks and equipment and the water tank and all of that, but then also the feed and hay, which would, you know, you would take the inventory in the last day before the sale happened.
And horses.
Yes, that's right, and the school horses, yes. And then the business. Now, most small businesses sell for a range of 3 to 5 times the bottom line before tax. And because this has the continuity of 37 years of, you know, dependable success and profit, I think it well deserves the high range of that range of multiple times earnings. So at a 5 times earnings, when you add all of that together, it's about, you know, you get way more than the price. May I say it now? Or are you holding it to
the
very end?
Yeah, you can say it. No,
okay.
You can say it.
It's $4,800,000. And
Jamie, you could get a loan for that tomorrow with your salary here at the Horse Radio Network. You'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
she would laugh in my face.
All right. So that's $4.8 million. It's an established business in beautiful Malibu. And I'll tell you what, this is terrific. You can see the pictures. Jennifer has just posted pictures on our face, or the link, rather, on our Facebook page.
Great.
And thank you so much for joining us. This is great. Give the website address for you out, too.
It's I beg your pardon, for the facility or for me?
For their Westside Real Estate.
Oh, the website is dreaminghorses.com, dreaminghorses.com.
I just thought that was a great website address,
thank
so I
you.
Wanted you to give it out.
Great.
All right,
yeah.
dreaminghorses.com, and that's Carol. You can find her there and all the information to reach her if you're looking to start a little business there in California. Thank
terrific.
You, Carol.
Thanks for having me. Okay,
all
bye-bye.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So you're not calling the bank?
Actually, yeah, they laughed in my face when I called them a minute ago, and then they just hung up.
You know, it
cool,
didn't seem that bad, although, when you do think about it, you know?
Yeah, you know, you'd have to teach an awful lot of lessons to make a house payment, a farm payment, that's $4.8 million worth, you know? So, what is that over a 30-year fixed?
Actually, I just figured it out, and let me see here. I want to make sure I get this right. So, with figuring about 10% interest, your payment's going to be close to $20,000 a month.
Wow, I'll take two. Gonna get two of them? Oh my God! You had to teach a lot of lessons. There's a lot of lesson ponies that are gonna get worked.
You better be doing what did it say? 200 a week? You better be doing 200 a week. But the lessons weren't cheap, by the way. And boarding was $600 to $800. I just looked at
that.
Yeah.
Your private lesson with me is now $180. So
that's right.
I gotta make the farm payment.
Private lessons were in the $80 range, $80 to $100. And then board is $600 to $1,000. And then they list hay separately, so I think you have to buy your own hay. And that was $200 to $400 a month.
So you can board your horse here, but you can't feed it.
No, apparently the feeding is not included. I don't know. But anyway, that was our fun little things you'll never own. That's why it falls into the things you'll never own category.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for finding that one something a little bit different today. You know, one of the things we worry about with our school horses as well as our horses in the backyard or our competition horses is how we feed them. And whether you're feeding the right amount of hay or not, and, you know, judging by that website, it's expensive out there. So one of the things you can do to save money is go to feedxl.com. Put in some information about your horses. Put in some information about what you feed your horses, and it's going to spit out some very detailed reports on whether you're feeding too much of one thing. Maybe you're feeding too much of a certain supplement, and you can cut back there, but there's a certain vitamin that your horse is lacking with the food that he's getting, and then you can add that in. And, you know, they do this program at feedxl.com was designed by actual doctors of nutrition in Australia who understand horses, who understand what horses eat and how they digest, and that's the people that put this together, so you can trust the results. So go to feedxl.com, take a couple of minutes, put in some information about your horses, and find out if you're feeding your horses correctly. It'll give you some tremendous peace of mind. Go back every couple of months and redo it to make sure that everything has stayed the same. That's feedxl.com. All right, now we're going to play a little Lindsay Rakers. This is for the new listeners to the show. Jamie had a very short career playing music on a stage. And one of the people that she played music with was a wonderful girl by the name of Lindsay Rakers. By the way, I've been following her on Facebook. She is having way too much fun with the Lindsay Rakers band.
Really? I follow her too. Yeah, she's a great, happy person, very positive person. So, again, for those of you who just for the first time heard that I was in a, you know, playing music, Lindsay was always way better than me. So, don't think I was good. Okay, it's just Lindsay kind of put up with me because she's a nice person. So here's her song, "Quiet Boy." It's the Lindsay Breakers Band. Lindsay Breakers Band, and just so you know, Glenn, that song I knew her when she was starting to date this guy, and she wrote this song about this guy she was dating, and I was like, oh, I really like that song. That's really good. Well, that apparently song had a good effect on him because they got married.
Oh, is that right? So, is she still married to
yeah.
him?
She is still married to him. So
wow.
that's the song. And I mean, come on. If a chick writes a song about a dude, that's a guaranteed relationship, right? It just happened to work out.
I don't know. It hasn't worked for Madonna too well.
Oh, that's true. But she writes dirty songs, so. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by horseshow.com. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. We do still have Black Beauty coming up. And Glenn, just so you know, the Black Beauty chapter is the one that started this whole Black Beauty conversation. Remember when I asked if you had ever gotten out of your cart or whatever to walk up the hill, and you were like, why would I do that? And I said, did you ever forget to like take the brake off when you were going back up the hill? I don't know. I don't think so. So this is the exact chapter that sparked our conversation about Black Beauty in the first place, just so everybody knows.
I never had a cart that had a brake, so...
yeah. But you definitely did not get out and walk up the hills.
That's what they have a horse for.
Okay.
Do you get off your horse to walk up the hill when you're trail riding?
I don't trail ride that far. And it's flat here. It's desert. But, no, I do get off my horse and walk them back to the barn when you're at a horse show or something like that. So, anyway, it's not about me. It's about you. And this is the chapter. It's called – the chapter title is called Cockneys.
I thought you lost the book. Didn't I – I worked hard to steal that book from you.
ClassicReader.com. Suck it. Okay, let's get to our guest. We have Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. And, Lisa, you must have been listening to our show because the do's and don'ts of the warm-up ring. The warm-up ring is really where my problem started at the horse trial this past weekend. But before we get into that, I have to tell you that I would like to thank the Chronicle of the Horse because, you know, first of all, you guys are, you know, everybody knows the Chronicle of the Horse. It's been around forever. Everybody reads the magazine. Everybody looks at the Chronicle online. And I now have my own online Chronicle scholarship subscription. And also my very... very fancy, brand new Chronicle of the Horse bridal bag because thanks to you guys, you sponsored the adult team challenges at the Coconino Horse Trials this past weekend.
Yep.
And I got this most awesome blue neck ribbon for the Chronicle.
Aww.
And then my bridal bag. And who doesn't love getting a neck ribbon? I mean, they're the coolest things ever.
Yeah,
so,
neck ribbons are the best.
Yeah, so please thank everybody and whoever's in charge of that for doing that for the Western States and in eventing. It was just really cool to kind of be associated with, yeah, I'm with the Chronicle. I'm second place. Fortunately, I had some really awesome riders on my team.
Excellent.
So that's how we got second. But just first of all, thank you guys very much. And then tell us about the warm-up ring because I'm going to check off the things that I did and didn't do.
Yeah, the warm-up ring, you know, I have to admit that I had some warm-up ring problems this last weekend as well.
Really? What happened?
So, you know, it was just a very busy warm-up ring and my horse sort of came undone, which is very surprising for her. She's a really quiet horse generally. But, yeah, she got kind of up with all the horses cantering around and cantering towards her, and I kind of turned into that scary person that can't stop or steer.
You were that girl, too!
I knew I liked that person.
I have two of you on the phone at the same time. Two of that girl on opposite coast. You were that girl on the East Coast. Jamie was that girl on the West Coast.
What were you competing in?
We did the Maryland Horse Trials at Beginner Novice. It was my horse's second event.
Oh, okay. So you're one ahead of me. So I have to tell you, in eventing, Glenn, for those who don't know, you have to, before you go out in the dressage test, they have to check your bit to make sure that your bit's legal. And my horse was so unglued, Lisa, and I want to know what you had to go through. I actually had peppermints in my coat pocket, and I threw them at the bit check lady as I was trotting by. I threw them, and I said, just wrinkle the paper and give him one of these while you're checking his bit. Maybe he'll stand still long enough. And I'm doing this as I'm trotting circles around the bit check lady going, just maybe as soon as I stop, just give the peppermint, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Anyway, he knocked her over and basically tried to kill the bit check lady. So did you have any sort of bit check experience?
No, you know, the bit check went pretty smooth because she was good for the dressage warm-up. We were, like, one of the last people to do dressage, and so there were only maybe two other people in the warm-up with us, and she was really fun. It was when I got on to head to the show jumping warm-up that she sort of, like, realized what was going on and also got kind of amped up by all the other horses. But, you know, no harm done. We didn't crash into anyone going too fast, so...
So how'd you play?
Visualize this, though, because... Everybody has seen those warm-up rings where there's that one girl that's playing bumper cars in the warm-up
ring. But she was really good. We had a stop at the very first fence on cross country. She kind of cantered down to it, and then her eyes popped out of her head a little bit.
Oh, no.
But I, you know, smacked her. We went around. She dumped everything else great. So I was happy with her. It's just she's just kind of a spooky horse, and it's just... a little bit scary when you get out there for the first one, leaving all your friends.
Yeah, I know. And they'll just get better and better and more confident. So I try. At least I'm telling myself that is my goal. But keep it up. So this article that was written was about the warm-up ring. So tell us a little bit about what their findings are.
There's a lot of good tips in here. This was, Molly Sorge wrote this for us, and she talked to a couple different experts, Callan Solom and Liza Boyd, who are both top show jumpers. Callan Solom's a show jumper, and Liza's a top hunter rider. And it just sort of talks about making sure that you do your homework before you go in the warm-up, because, you know, we all know that the warm-up is just basically a place you're trying to survive. It's not a place you're going to get any good schooling done. In terms of, you know, long-term training, this is not a place where you need to be addressing some sort of serious issue. You're just trying to jump a couple jumps, get your horse going, and then get to the ring. I like this because they compare riding your horse through a hectic schooling area is very much like driving a car on a busy road, only with fewer rules. It says you should always keep your eyes
are
up.
Are there rules? I don't know if there are rules in a schooling arena. You know, I think you guys are talking about events. The worst ones we've seen, and I'm going to get hate mail now, is jumper shows. They just seem to be going everywhere.
Yep. And I think it makes a big difference. At events, you can only jump the jumps going one way because they're flagged in the warm-up. And at horse shows, it's just a free-for-all, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So that gets a little bit more hectic. And usually it seems like there's so many more people in the warm-up if you're at a, you know, hunter jumper show than there are at an event. I'm not sure why. Maybe that's just a mental block. But, yeah. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think you're right.
If you're approaching a jump, you know, you say heads up or you say heads up, boxer. Or if you're cantering by someone and – you know, you're both sort of like, should I go inside or outside? You know, call out inside or outside to make sure the other person knows where you're trying to go.
Oh, so the proper terminology is not, get the hell out of the way!
Yeah, probably not.
Here's what I called to people as I was going through the warm-up as my horse is bucking and plunging and kicking. I would say, not inside or outside. I'd go, oh, sorry, sorry. Sorry. That was my warm up. Oh, sorry. It's funny because it's true, Glenn.
Yeah. I had some of those moments as well. It's bad when you just can't stop. You know, you're just sort of galloping along and you just kind of have to say, excuse me, because there's really nothing else you can do at that point.
No, there's no break.
Yeah.
The brakes have left the vehicle at that point.
Yeah.
No brakes, just turn. You just have a steering wheel. So what my coach told me to do, and actually she highlights this in the article, is what my coach actually told me to put your leg on. keep your leg on. Keep the horse in front of your leg. It's like, and to let them feel you in the reins, because they said it's more like a security blanket to know that you're there. When your horse is forward, your tendency is to pull off your leg and go, oh, gosh, okay, be calm.
Yeah.
But they actually need that support. And she actually highlights this in this article, because they just need to stay in front of your leg, make your aids clear and make them basic as and have them focus on you as opposed to what she calls the craziness around
it. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really key, because that is your inclination. You know, if your horse is running off with you, you think the last thing I want to do is put my leg on this horse. But it kind of, at least then you're directing the energy forward instead of, you know, my horse can get a little bit balled up, and that's an even more dangerous situation if she's sort of bouncing in place. I'd rather have her, you know, nicely trotting forward or something than doing that.
Well, and it's kind of reminding them, too, who's in charge, that you still are giving commands, that there is supposed to be something positive happening here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I did notice in the article, too, that she wrote, which is on the Chronicle, put a link to it, is Boyd Martin was quoted in there. And I know Boyd believes this. He practices everything, and they do practice everything at the barn, and they even practice their trots, you know, when they're doing vet inspections and all of that stuff. And he recommends simulating the environment while you're home. If you have a couple of other people there with you, just sit on that horse and have those people do circles around you and keep making the circles tighter and tighter so that they keep getting closer and closer. And that's one of the drills that he recommends to practice for the warm-up ring. His point is, if they're that upset, if the warm-up ring upsets them that much and they haven't practiced that, that's not leading into good things when you actually get into the ring. So,
right. And sorry to interrupt you, but that is actually Liza Boyd who is quoted. It's not Boyd Martin, even though it says, you know, Boyd says. I know that's misleading, but
okay.
That is Liza's last name.
Okay, good. Well, I can tell you that Boyd Martin feels the same way. They do practice all that stuff. He even practices a jog, you know, so.
Yeah, he's a master, and I've actually ridden in a warm-up with him, and there can be complete chaos, and his horse is just, you know, listening to him and focused. And
yeah, people don't think about actually practicing for the warm-up ring, you know, because it's something that's just there. But he's absolutely right. If your horse is getting upset in the warm-up ring, you're starting off upset.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just, you have to prepare for every aspect of it, because if you're anything like me, I'm riding my horse by myself at, you know, 6 o'clock at night after I get off work. And sometimes I won't share a ring with someone for, you know, weeks on end.
Well, now, I don't know if it's spoken or unspoken rule, that you're really supposed to pass in the opposite direction the same way we drive a car here, your left hand to their left hand. Isn't that true?
Yeah. I think that a lot of people do follow that rule. It gets tricky. You know, if someone is walking, a lot of times they'll try to take the inside track, and so you end up deviating from it a little bit. But I think in general, that's a good rule to follow, because I think it also just feels more natural, because that is the way we drive a car.
In England, do they do it the opposite way, you think?
I don't know. Maybe someone from England can call in and let us know.
Liam, how do they do it in England? Oh, Jennifer,
yeah,
have you had any warm-up horror stories? Do you have any?
You know, in the warm-up ring, I'm usually the one that's quietly embarrassing themselves in the corner. I haven't had a lot of the horses that have the meltdown explosion behaviors at horse shows, but I have frequently had the horse that can't get past a walk because they're just completely shut down, or the one who arrives at the horse show and the horse sat down in the horse trailer and has now scraped all of the hide off of their body from their hip sack. I'm that person. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I got to ask you guys too, because we get to watch a lot of warm-up rings over here at the Kentucky Horse Park for all different kinds of shows, and Jennifer and I just fascinated sometimes. The people that are a problem, that are the angry people, that are yelling at people in the warm-up ring, are not the riders. They're the coaches.
Yeah.
And they're yelling, you know, they'll yell at their own students, but they're yelling at everybody, don't you do that, don't you, and it's just like creating this hostile atmosphere is the coaches. It's like, if we didn't have coaches in the warm-up ring, it might be a quiet place.
And you know what's even worse than coaches is pony moms. They are.
That's a whole
scariest.
Another topic, my friend. That, now you've got next week's topic, pony moms.
All right, next week,
coming
pony
up.
Moms.
Yeah, let's do it. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on getting through your second horse trial, and
we'll just have
to keep this up. What do you have coming up next for your horse?
She's on a little break right now. I'm traveling quite a bit. We're going to aim for one, I think, the first weekend of September.
Oh, perfect. I'm doing one September, one October, one November, so we'll have to compare notes.
We'll have to compare notes, yeah.
Perfect.
All right, thanks,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too.
Bye, Lisa.
Awesome.
Well, you see, you're not the only one. Don't you feel better today to know that you're not the only one that was that girl last weekend?
You know, it does feel better in some ways, but in the other ways, I'm still that guy. You know, I'm still that girl. So it doesn't make it go away. It's just misery loves company. And I think that's a great idea to practice the warm-up. I never thought about that. So basically, I need to take my horse somewhere and just have lots of people riding around him and try to focus on something, put him in the trailer, and take him home. So it won't be that big a deal. Do you know anybody in the Phoenix area who would allow me to show up at their farm, have everybody there riding at the same time, and then I can just let them go home? That'd be great. If you are within listening distance, please call me. That would be awesome.
That's funny. All right, let's, I think, what do we have left here today? I think we're done, right?
No. I would like to apologize, by the way, for the Basset Hound that has barked repeatedly through today's show. She has not had her Shen Calmer this morning yet, and time is of the essence. I didn't get her breakfast to her before the show, so that's why you've heard her repeatedly throughout the day. Sorry.
That Shen Calmer stuff really works, too, doesn't it?
It really does. Wendy Ying is amazing as far as prescribing this thing and sending it to me. It's awesome. However, you must not forget to give it.
Aubrey Miller just posted, at our last show, we almost trampled the Big Check lady, too. She took one look at us and said, I'm sure you're fine. couldn't get close enough to check. So, yeah, I've been that girl frequently as well. See, you're not alone. Other people are that girl, too.
Oh, thank God, Aubrey, I love you. And you know what? My girlfriend who has been training with me and doing lessons with me and everything, her bit check did not occur until after her dressage ride. The bit check lady, after me knocking her down, was like, with any other crazy horse, she's like, I'll see you after. So
these poor ladies are volunteers. They come out and volunteer the time, and you get stuck being the one that has to stick your finger in horse's mouth, you know?
I know. You know it's bad when a horse that is clearly acting up trots by you and you're like, oh, God, I got to stick my finger in that. And I'm throwing peppermints at her, just going, just wrinkle the wrapper as I go by, go around again. And as soon as I can get him to stop, go around again. I will totally get him to stop and he'll have a peppermint, go around again. And then you can stick it a bit, go around again. It was terrible.
Jennifer, you need to find a bit check lady at amateur little shows. We need a professional bit check lady to interview, because that would be a fun interview, finding out what
that's
that.
A great idea. Great idea. If I could find this lady, I would put her on the show, because I'm sure she got her money's worth this past weekend.
I've
done
a bit check lady thing, and it's fun.
Oh, boy.
It's fun.
Are you ready, Jamie? Are you prepared?
I'm ready.
Do you have the non-book open because I stole it?
ClassicReader.com.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 29, Cockneys. Then there is the steam engine style of driving. These drivers are mostly people from towns who have never had a horse of their own and generally traveled by rail. They always seemed to think that a horse is something like a steam engine, only smaller. At any rate, they think if only they pay for a horse, it is bound to go just as far and just as fast with just as heavy load as they please. And be the roads heavy and muddy or dry and good, be they stony or smooth, uphill or downhill, it is all the same. On, on. One must go at the same pace with no relief and no consideration. These people never think of getting out to walk up a steep hill. Oh, no, they've paid to ride, and ride they will. The horse, oh, he's used to it. What were horses made for if not to drag people uphill? Walk, a good joke indeed. And so the whip is plied, and the rein is chucked, and often a rough, scolding voice cries out, "Go along, you lazy beast," and another slash of the whip, when all the time we are doing our very best to get along, uncomplaining and obedient, although often sorely harassed and downhearted. This steam engine style of driving wears us up faster than any other kind. I would far rather go 20 miles with a good, considerate driver than I would go 10 with some of these. It would take less out of me. Another thing, they scarcely ever put on the brake, however steep the downhill may be, and thus bad accidents sometimes happen. Or if they do put it on, they often forget to take it off at the bottom of the hill, and more than once I have had to pull halfway up the next hill with one of the wheels held by a brake before my driver chose to think about it, and that is a terrible strain on a horse. Then these cockneys, instead of starting at an easy pace, as a gentleman would do, generally set off at full speed from the very stable yard, and when they want to stop, they first whip us and then pull us up so suddenly that we're nearly thrown on our haunches and our mouths jagged with a bit. They call that pulling up with a dash. And when they turn a corner, they do it as sharply as if there were no right side or wrong side of the road. I well remember one spring evening, I and Rory had been out for the day. Rory was the horse that mostly went with me when a pair was ordered, and a good, honest fellow he was. We had our own driver, and he was always considerate and gentle with us. We'd had a very pleasant day. We were coming home at a good smart pace about twilight. Our road turned sharp to the left, but as we were close to the hedge on our own side, there was plenty of room to pass. Our driver did not pull us in. As we neared the corner, I heard a horse and two wheels coming rapidly down the hill towards us. The hedge was high, and I could see nothing, but the next moment we were upon each other. Happily for me, I was on the side next to the hedge. Rory was on the left side of the pole and had not even a shaft to protect him. The man who was driving was making straight for the corner, and when he came in sight of us, there was no time to pull over to his own side. The whole shock came upon Rory. The gib shaft ran right into his chest, making him stagger back with a cry that I shall never forget. The other horse was thrown upon his haunches and one shaft broken. It turned out that it was a horse from our own stables in the high-wheeled gig that the young men are so fond of. The driver was one of those poor, random, ignorant fellows who don't even know which side of the road is theirs, or if they know, they don't care. And there was poor Rory with his flesh torn open and bleeding, the blood streaming down. They said if it had been a little more to one side, it would have killed him, and good thing for him, poor fellow, if it had. As it was a long time before the wound healed, and then he was sold for coal carting, and what that is, up and down those steep hills, only horses know. Some of the sights I saw there when a horse had to come downhill with a heavily loaded two-wheel cart behind him on which no brake could be placed makes me sad now even to think of. After Rory was disabled, I often went in the carriage with a mare named Peggy who stood in the stall next to mine. She was a strong, well-made animal, a bright dun color, beautifully dappled with a dark brown mane and tail. There was no high breeding about her, but she was very pretty and remarkably sweet-tempered and willing. Still, there was an anxious look about her eye, by which I knew she had had some trouble. And the first time we went out together, I thought she had a very odd pace. She seemed to go partly a trot, partly a canter, three or four paces, and then a little jump forward. It was very unpleasant for any horse who pulled with her, and it made me quite fidgety. When we got home, I asked her what made her go that odd, awkward way. "Ah," she said in a troubled manner, "I know my paces are very bad, but what can I do? It's really not my fault. It's just because my legs are so short. I stand nearly as high as your, but your legs are a good 3 inches longer above your knees than mine, and of course you could take much longer steps and go much faster. You see, I did not make myself. I wish I could have, but I would have long legs then." "All my troubles come from my short legs," said Peggy in a desponding tone. "But how is it when you're so strong and good-tempered and willing?" "Why, you see," she said, "the men will go fast, and if one can't keep up to the other, there's nothing but whip, whip, whip all the time, and so I've had to keep up as I could, and have got into this ugly shuffling pace. It was not always so. When I lived with my first master, I always went at a good regular trot, but then he was not in such a hurry. He was a young clergyman in the country, so a good, kind master he was. He had two churches a good way apart and a good deal of work, but he never scolded or whipped me for not going any faster. He was fond of me, only I wish I was with him now, but he had to leave and go to a large town, and then I was sold to a farmer." And tomorrow we will finish up part two of chapter 29, Cockneys. Thank you.
Steam engine driving? I was just commenting on the chapter. That's all.
Are you one of those drivers who is a, what does he call it?
Steam engine driver?
Steam engine driver.
Steam engine. You know, this was written back. I didn't even know they had steam engines back when this was written. Yes, they did.
They did. Remember? His training was in a field and the train went by all the time.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Steam engine driving. No, I can't say that I'm one of those steam engine drivers.
Get up, you lazy beast. Get up. I didn't see you doing that either, but I would never see you walk up the hill.
No, Glenn is more the dangle a carrot in front of the pony's face with a long stick driver. Yeah,
exactly.
Remember, unnatural horsemanship. We feed them every chance we get.
Oh, you're such a lover, not a fighter.
Oh, and I got the lecture last night, too, by the way, about the dog. So, Lori came to us a little chunky for a greyhound. I had a little few extra pounds on there. And she's actually lost some weight now since she's been with us. And because I've been taking her to the dog park every other day, and she gets to run around and have some fun. And last night we went to get new dog food because we had run out of her dog food. And Jennifer says, no, this is not the diet dog food, so you have to be careful not to give her extra. And Jennifer really thinks that I was giving her extra. She gets a cup in the morning, cup at night, which, by the way, is not enough for a 55-pound dog. But that's what I've been doing. Jennifer, for some reason, has this inclination that I have been cheating.
Why would she think that, Glenn?
I have no idea because she has never seen me feed the dog. So there is no evidence that I have been cheating. There is no evidence that I have been taking the little cup thing out and then sneaking in and grabbing a little more handful with my hand so she wouldn't hear it. There's no evidence of that whatsoever.
Wow.
See, the thing is, Glory is a 55-pound dog that's really supposed to be a 45-pound dog.
That is irrelevant to the matter. She's 55 pounds. And
hold on.
Now, yeah.
You forgot this.
There we go.
There you go. I feel better now.
and tell everybody what we set the world record most expensive dog chew last night.
Oh, so Glory loves to chew on bones. Well, the problem, though, is she is very aggressive with her bones. I don't know if your two puppies are that way. So we got, you know, I'd get her like a knuckle bone or whatever you get at the store. They're filled with something really sturdy because she would eat those, what are they called, Jennifer, the other kind?
Rawhide.
Rawhide. She could clear out a 10-inch rawhide in one day. Yeah.
In day. She'd demolish the thing. So I got her the tougher, like real bones. And she goes to town on those things, and we were afraid, you know, because of the shards and everything, that was going to be a problem because she just devours them. So we were at the store last night, and Jennifer said, what can we give her that, you know, she won't, you know, get in trouble or get caught in her throat and that kind of thing? And they said, oh, we have these antler bones. They're like antlers, and apparently they're very hard, and it takes pit bulls a month to get for one of these. So we said, oh, we'll take one of those. And he said, they're a little more expensive, but, you know, it's better than a visit to the veterinarian. We never asked how much. So when he checked out, we went out to the car. Jennifer said, do you know we just paid for that dog then? I said, no. She said,
$20. Uh-uh.
Yes.
$20 for a dog bone?
Apparently we did.
That's amazing. However, that would be a great idea for these puppies because every morning I have to give them both a rawhide before the show starts to keep them busy for the hour and a half of our show.
Yeah.
And at some point they fall asleep. But that's the thing is, like, if I could just get two of those, because I'm spending a lot of money on rawhides and I don't think that they're that healthy for them. So I might have to get an antler.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd eat it.
Well, that's the thing is she doesn't just chew it. She chews it with a vengeance, and daggone it, she's going to consume it. And, we needed something that took long enough to consume that it would make sense for her poor little digestive tract.
Okay, if she consumes an antler in a day, we've got some problems.
That is
a big vet bill.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We'll let you know how the antler goes.
We'll let you know. We'll give you a report on dog eating antlers and how that goes.
That just sounds
all right.
Gross.
I think we're out of time.
They don't have to kill. You don't have to kill the animal to get the antler. They fight
and they fall off. Yeah, they fall off.
They do fall off. Yep. I don't know how they got these, and I didn't want to know. But for $20, I hope they had to scrounge around in the woods to find the fallen off ones, because
I'm sure they did.
Yes. We are over for today. Don't forget, you can check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. The Western Radio Show went up yesterday, so if you want to hop over there, they talked about extreme cowboy racing. And now Tammy has another sport that she wants to get belt buckles for. So check that out over at westernradioshow.com. And, of course, you can find all of our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. where we put links to everything that we talk about. And that's also where you can listen to all of the past shows from day one on.
If you missed a live show, listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. Tomorrow, of course, submit your really, really, really bad ads, because we're giving away some awesome prizes. And also joining us, Buck's brother, Smokey Brandeman, is going to be on the show.
Smokey!
He's a listener, and he follows us on Facebook, and he harasses me about Black Beauty. So, good times. I'm going to make him sit on hold while I read the chapter. How about that, Smokey?
Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmets and be safe.